Guys, do you want the windows open? You want some air in here?
Yeah. Actually, I don't know. I don't do this.
Okay. Rabosai. Okay, here we go. So basically, we're just a few days before Yom HaKippurim, and I wanted to focus in on some halachos relating to Yom HaKippurim. Even though it's true that just on one level, you know, if someone would ask you, what do you do on Yom Kippur, you basically would say, you don't eat, and you daven all day. That pretty much sums it up, right? But there's obviously a lot more. And there's a halacha that takes place the day before Yom HaKippurim that I think actually is very reflective of how we relate to Yom HaKippurim itself. If you look in the Gemara, it's in Yoma, Pei Aleph, Amud Beis. So the Gemara records there a wonderful mitzvah that Am Yisrael, the Jews, really, really, really like. And it's a mitzvah to eat. It's a mitzvah to eat all day. Well, we'll discuss that. Okay, it's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom HaKippurim. There's such a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom HaKippurim. And what's interesting, just to think about and consider, is that we basically eat before Yom HaKippurim, and then we fast. It's the inverse of Purim. Right? Purim, we fast the day before, and then we feast the next day. And it's interesting, we call Yom Kippurim, that they're the inverse of one another. We're going to talk about that a little bit more soon. But it's an interesting thing to consider. So anyway, but how does the Gemara know there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippurim? So there's a drasha that the Gemara makes. The Gemara says in Vayikra, Perek Chof Gimel, Posuk Lamed Beis. So the Torah says, V'inisim es nafsho seichem b'tisha v'chodesh. You're supposed to have inu, you're supposed to suffer, you're supposed to deprive yourself on the 9th of Tishrei. Obviously something's wrong. 9th of Tishrei, we know that Yom HaKippurim is on the 10th of Tishrei. So the Gemara points out, but there's an earlier Pasuk in Vayikra Per Chav Gimel, and that's in Pasuk Chav Zayin, that says a little bit differently. The Pasuk says there, Ach be'esor lachodesh hashvi'i, so that's in Pasuk Chav Zayin. So again, the two Pesukim are Vayikra Perek Chaf Gimel Pasuk Lamed Beis, and again also in the same Perek in Chav Gimel Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Pasuk Chaf Zayin. So basically the two Pesukim seem to contradict one another, because one Pasuk says that Yom HaKippurim is on the 9th of Tishrei, and the other one says it's on the 10th of Tishrei. So the Gemara says, from this we learn that there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom HaKippurim, and when you do eat on Erev Yom HaKippurim, you're credited for fasting 2 days. That's a wonderful mitzvah. That's fantastic. You eat the day before, and then you get credits if you fasted on that day. So if you look through the Rishonim, it's a big machlokes Rishonim, whether this din of eating on Erev Yom HaKippurim is a din d'oraisa, din d'rabbanon. The Shulchan Aruch, this is in Simin Tov Kuf Ayin, seems to he indicates that he thinks it's only a din d'rabbanon. Others say it's a din d'oraisa. But either way, this is obviously a din that we have to do. We have to follow the din. We're going to try to figure out what exactly is this din of eating on Erev Yom HaKippurim, and what does it reflect. Now, the most essential question, which was sort of just hinted to a little bit earlier, so you said you have to eat all day. So that's really the question. Normally when we have a chiyuv achila, when is it? It's like Shabbos or Yontif, right? So when does the chiyuv achila begin? Does it begin only in the daytime or the night before? The night before. Right? Usually that's when it starts. We start with Rizim Akdimin, right? The day begins at the night time, so immediately we start with the Chiyuv Achila. So is the Chiyuv Achila, so this year Yom HaKippurim is on Friday night. So for us, is the Chiyuv Achila already begin Thursday night? This Thursday night, do we have a Chiyuv to eat and to feast for Yom HaKippurim? Or no, or maybe they just intend to eat sometime before the fast. So the Magen Avraham, if you want to look it up, it's in Siman Tov Reish Dalet, Sifkat Nalf. The Magen Avraham quotes two opinions on the matter. So some say you're supposed to eat the night before already, so this in this case it'll be Thursday night. And others say, no, you just have to have a Suda Mafsekes. You just have to make sure to have a good meal before the fast. For example, who says you have to begin the night before? So the Shalah says it's already the night before. So at least he quotes one opinion in the Shalah. The Vilna Gaon says, no, all you have to do is eat a Suda Mafsekes. But the Shalah has an opinion that you're supposed to eat already the night before. So the question is, what is it based on? What is this Hamachlokas based on? Are you supposed to eat the night before, or just the day, or just on the day, the Suda Mafsekes before? So the Shalah has this beautiful Mahalach in this mitzvah. He says, essentially the question is Erev Yom HaKippurim a quasi-yontif? Is it its own yontif day? Or no, it's just another regular day in Aseret Yemei Teshuva, and it happens to be the day before Yom HaKippurim. Okay, this coming Thursday night, Friday, are we heading for, is that a Yontif, or is it just the day before Yom HaKippurim? So the Shlosh says, what is this? L'may nafkamina. So he says, if it's a quasi Yontif, so what do? When do we start eating on a Yontif? The night before. On the night of Yontif, we start eating. So he said, if it's a Yontif, so then we start eating that night. But he said, if it's just a regular day, he said, there's no chiyuv to eat the night before. You just eat before the fast. That makes sense. So there are really two types of there are two questions to deal with. Number one, if it's a Yontif, if this coming Thursday night, Friday, if Erev Yom HaKippurim is a Yontif, how did that Yontif come about? Why is there Yontif? Who ever heard of such a Yontif? Why is it a Yontif? And second of all, if it's not a Yontif, so then what's the nature of the Chiyuv Achila? Okay, those are the questions. So Rabbi Soloveitchik Zatzal once explained as follows. An amazing Yisod. He said, the Torah is basically the revealed the will of God. The will of God is infinite. So therefore the Torah is infinite. How do you take an infinite system and put it into a finite world? If you've read Halachic Min, you see how the Rav talks about the struggle of taking something that's so beyond everything. If you could take infinite and put it into finite, what should happen to the finite? It should explode, right? So how do you do this? So basically, what the Rav develops is that the most we can do is we can approximate, in terms of categories, in this world, the pure halachic approach. But we can't do exactly. It's impossible. It's impossible. So the Rav gives an example. The example of Yom HaKippurim. Yom HaKippurim, is it a sad day or a happy day? It's a happy day. Definitely a happy day. What's the biggest proof that it's a happy day? That it's a day of Simcha? Give me the best proof. Number one proof on the board. What happens to a person who's sitting Shiva before Yom HaKippurim? Right? The Yom HaKippurim comes and is mevatalit. We say, the Gemara says, Asi Simcha Darabim, or mevatli Avelis Diachid. That's how we paskin. We paskin that just like a regular Yontif, just like Sukkot and Pesach and Shavuos, so too Rosh Hashanah and so too Yom HaKippurim, we say Asi Simcha Darabim Umevatle Avelus Diyachid. Essentially, if you want to understand how this works, the dynamics, so Rabbi Soloveitchik explains very simple. He said the difficulty here, the question, the paradox that we're dealing with is Simcha and Avelus, they seem to be on opposite ends of the spectrum, right? But they share one important common denominator. What is that important common denominator? They are both mitzvos shebelev. They're both a kiyum shebelev. They're both mitzvos that deal with one's emotion. And according to the way the Rav understands the Rambam, in order to fulfill Avelis, I think we talked about this when we talked about Kriya on the first year, if you guys remember, if you were awake at the time, it was a little jet lag, but the din of Avelis, according to the Rambam, is Lehit Abel, to really mourn. Not everyone agrees with that. There's a Rashi in Sukkot Av Chafei that seems to indicate that there isn't the Chiyav, you're supposed to act like an Ava, but you don't have to actually feel the emotions of mourning. But the Rambam seems to say that you actually have to mourn. But what's the mitzvah of Simcha? To rejoice. Okay. So, according to the Rav, he says, within the world of the Rambam, if a person acts like an Avel, but he really is not mournful when he's an Avel, does he fulfill the mitzvah? No. And let's say on Yontif, he acts happy, but he's not really happy. Does he get the mitzvah? No. He's got to really be happy on a Yontif, and he has to be really sad when he's mourning. So what happens when all of a sudden these two are triangulated and brought together? Now what do? You got a problem, right? A human being, halacha recognizes that a human being cannot do both. You can't demand that he should be really happy and really sad. One has to give. So the klal is, says the Gemara, Asi simcha derabim umavat levelas diyachid. Why does simcha take precedence? Because it's the rabbim, it's the national agenda. The national agenda is to rejoice. That's the national mitzvah. It's a simcha derabim, and that overrides our personal mourning. That's how it works. That's the equation. So we know Yom Kippurim is a happy day. It's a day of simcha. But on the other hand, it's also a very scary day. It's a day of awe, of yira. We just had a meeting today, Ramim, and there's a whole discussion about what is the proper Derech Agav, we got into a whole discussion about the proper approach on Yom Kippurim, and there was discussion. There's some yeshivas out there that actually dance a lot on Yom Kippurim, in the shul. They're dancing and dancing and dancing. And the sense of awe, there was someone who witnessed this, and he said the sense of awe wasn't there. The sense of pachad and fear wasn't there. The Yom Kippurim is, we call it the days of awe. The Yomim Noraim. It has that element as well. The Gemara in Archin and Daf Yud Amud Beis says this very clearly. The Gemara says, the Malachim want to know, why doesn't Am Yisrael say Hallel on Yom Kippurim or in Rosh Hashanah? So what does the Gemara say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, he says, Sifrei Chayim, V'Sifrei Mason, Pesuchim Lefonai, the books of life and death are open in front of me. The Yisrael Omim Shira, can they possibly say Shira? They're scared. There's not a time for saying Shira and Hallel. Right? Not a time for dancing and everything. This is a scary day. So the Rav says, now we got a problem. Yom HaKippurim, on the one hand, is a day of Simcha. On the other hand, it's a scary day. How do the two work? How do you reconcile that? How can that be operative? Halacha, which is infinite, is now being asked to live in one day, but it's like too much for the day. So the Rav said that what does Halacha do? Halacha expands Yom Kippur into 2 days. And the aspect of Yontif, the aspect of Simcha, occurs the day before. And the awesomeness of the day is focused in on the second day. They both obviously have both. But the Iker part of the Simcha, or at least the expression of that Simcha, is given expression on the day before. And the awesomeness is given expression on the next day. Yeah.
Seeing as the main simcha of Yom Kippur is that our sins are atoned, wouldn't it make a lot of sense that the day after would be the day of simcha, seeing that the day?
It's a very good question, right? You know, you're asking, shouldn't the simcha, real simcha, occur afterwards? So the it's a great question. But the answer really is that we have great emunah. I mean, we go in with complete confidence that it's going to happen. So when you go into a situation that you're anticipating is going to be great, you already are filled with joy. That's really the answer. We are in fearful and full of awe, but we're not nervous and insecure. that we're not going to be answered, that we're not going to have a kapara. Our assumption is that we are, it's going to happen. Okay? Now, so therefore, since Yom Kippur is expanded into these 2 days, and the full expression of the simcha is on the day before, so of course now you understand why you would eat on the day before. And the next day we would have all the inuyim. Now it makes total sense. The Rav said, "Hu hadinami on Purim." I said to you that Yom Kippur, right? Yom Kippurim and Purim, they're very similar. That's all the Yom Kippur, right? It's very, very similar. Purim, happy day or sad day? What would you say? Happy day, of course. One of the happiest days of the year, right? It's jubilant and joyous. But honestly, it's also a scary day. How could that be? How could Purim be a scary day? Well, think about it. If you were Mordechai, and you were just appointed to be Mishneh LeMelech, would you be just happy or scared too? All right, why would you be scared? Because the guy whose shoes you're filling is where? He's hanging. Right? He's hanging off a tree somewhere. Right? And the king is half out of his mind. Right? And Esther also must be frightened. I mean, it's an insane situation. The name, think of the name, Purim. What does Purim mean? Lottery. What is a lottery? Do you have any control in a lottery? Well, whatever pops up, happens. That's it. Okay? The Rav said that's why the name is Purim. Purim is basically, it gives expression to the human condition. That at least from our eyes, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control of everything, but from our perspective, sometimes things seem like just a lottery. Like, it just happened. Like, how in the world did that happen? I didn't see it coming. The tov or the ra. It just happened. That is frightening. So the Rav said, how do you take a day, which is great reason to rejoice, because it's salvation of the entire nation, but at the same time, it's a very scary day. It's an expression of the human condition, of great fear. So Chazal did the same thing that happened on Purim. Chazal expanded Purim into 2 days. The day before Tanis Esther, right, the day before, which is Tanis Esther, that became the day for the expression of the awesomeness and the scariness of the day, and we do tshuva. And then the next day, Purim, is where we give full expression to the rejoicing. A brilliant, amazing, amazing approach. What a mahalach. So now we understand how according to the approach that Erev Yom HaKippurim is like a quasi yontif, why we eat. That we understand. What we don't understand is why, if you hold that Erev Yom HaKippurim is not a yontif, so why we eat it? Why is there a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom HaKippurim? Yeah. Well, the Iker day, in other words, the Iker day of Yom HaKippurim is the awesome day, is the awesomeness. So that remains, that is the day. And Purim is fundamentally a joy. But we move it forward. Okay. Now, there are broadly, I would say, 5 tirutzim to the question that I just asked. Again, about why would we eat on Erev Yom HaKippurim if it's not a yontif? So one answer, one famous answer is brought down by the Netziv. If you want to look it up, it's in the Hamak She'ela, Simen Kuf Samach Zayin. Okay, it's on the Shiltos, the Shiltos of Rav Chaigon. It's Shiltos Kuf Samach Zayin. In the Hamak She'ela, the Netziv's commentary on the Shiltos. Simen Kuf Samach Zayin, it's Os Yud Beis. If you didn't know, I'll just tell you just quickly, the Netziv, I'm sure you guys know who the Netziv is, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, was the last Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshivas Volozhin, and under his auspices, Volozhin became one of the, became really great and very well known. But the Netziv, when he was a young man, this is famous, anything you read about him, everyone always points this out. He wasn't widely known as a young man as a big Talmid Chacham. He was considered the average. And even after people began to recognize him as a Talmid Chacham, they didn't consider him to be such a stellar Talmid Chacham. And usually what really separated him from the pack was the effort, the work. His work ethic was amazing. But people didn't know so much about it. People generally didn't consider him to be such a big Talmid Chacham when he was younger. And the story goes even, Afilu, they say his wife, who was the daughter of Rav Itzel of Elojner, was not happy. You know, like, you know, she said, you know, why couldn't my husband be a big Talmid Chacham like my, you know, like my brother-in-law, like, you know, my brothers, you know. That's how the story goes in the biographies. So one day, though, Rav Itzel of Elojner, who is Rav Chaim of Elojner's son, came across this manuscript that didn't have anyone's name signed on it. And he was reading through it, and he was wondering, he said, who, it was a commentary on the Shiltos of Rav Chaigon. And he said, who wrote this? Whoever wrote this is a gaon. And it turned out, he realized afterwards that it was none other than his son-in-law, the Nitziv. And from then on, that the Hamik Shela is what really launched and vaulted the Nitziv to even greater fame. He was a big anav. He was a tremendous, tremendous anav. And he wrote many sefarim, but that was one of them that really made him very, very famous. So, in any event, the Nitziv takes the position. He develops a whole thesis over there that the mitzvah achila on Erev Yom Kippurim is a hechsher mitzvah. It's not yontif, but it's a hechsher mitzvah. So what's the hechsher mitzvah? So within this approach of hechsher mitzvah, there are also five explanations within this one. So what are the five explanations? So here they go. What's the number one most simple answer on the board that's a hechsher mitzvah for what? So you can fast, exactly. Okay, that you eat so that you can fast. Makes tremendous sense. If you look in Rashi and Yoma, Pei Aleph on Mebeis, that's the simple understanding from Rashi. That's the Pashup Shot. The Torah gives a different approach. If you want to look it up, it's the Torah in Arachaim and Metafresh Dalet. He says that it's a special mitzvah given to us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu so that we shouldn't get harmed. And as we eat, it's a hechsher, so we don't get harmed by the fast. It's a preparation so we don't get harmed. It's special avas Hashem. Hashem is giving us a very tough day, Yom HaKippurim. So Hashem has rachmanis on Am Yisrael. He doesn't want us to get hurt, so he tells us to eat before. Yeah. Because number one is so that you can fulfill the mitzvah of fasting. The second one is it's assuming that you'll fulfill the mitzvah, but you'll get hurt if you didn't eat. Probably one of the most beautiful answers, though, is this next one. The Rabbeinu Yonah in his Shari Tshuva. This is in Dalet Yud. He said to fast. He said anyone can fast. Right? I mean, what do you need? What do you really need to do on Yom Kippur? If you want to make sure that you can fast on Yom Kippur, what would you do? If that was the number one goal, only just to fast, how would you guarantee that? Sleep. Go in your bed, lie down, sleep, curl up, and just don't spend any energy. So people, we're not so worried that people are not going to do that. But what do we really need? What do we really need? What do we need strength for? Fasting people do, huh? To do tshuva. So you need tremendous strength. You need resources to mispal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to do vidui properly, and to do tshuva, to have great resolve and strength of character on Yom HaKippurim, to break through and become a different person of sorts on Yom HaKippurim. You need strength for that. So he said, that's why we have to eat. Because Yom HaKippurim is a big day. It's a big day for davening and asking forgiveness properly. The Torah Tzimima comes up with a fourth explanation. The Torah Tzimima is in Vayikra Perikov Gimel, a Pasuk Lamed Beis. He gives a famous answer. Maybe you guys have heard this before, that we eat on Erev Yom HaKippurim, so it'll be extra hard for us on Yom HaKippurim. How so? There's a Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, and it says over there, Shinui Veses Tchilas Choli, which means that when you change the cycle of your day, and you change the way you normally do things, you will get, it's the beginning of illness. In other words, putting your body into a shock is very is hard on the body. Everyone knows that. So, the Torah to me says, we eat a lot on Erev Yom Kippurim, so in order to put our body into shock, so to speak, into a jolt, to jolt it on Erev Yom, on Yom Kippurim by the difficulty of the fast. That's what he argues. And that's why he says, that's his husband, that's why he credited for 2 days of fasting. Because, you know, after all, you made it extra hard. There's this story, I think it's about is it Moses Montefiore or I think maybe Moses Montefiore. There's a famous Jew in London who used to invite. He was a big philanthropist. And he invited Jews to his home for Yom Kippurim for a great davening. He was known to be an amazing, uplifting davening in his home. And so he had a minhag. It sounds like a crazy minhag, but this is what he did. Just to understand, actually, before I tell you the crazy minhag, so you'll like, what else did he do? He used to, at night, occasionally go to sleep in a coffin. Okay, he wasn't Dracula. Okay, he would go to sleep in a coffin because he wanted to remember Yom HaMisa. He was very, very wealthy, and he was worried that he was getting, you know, he get too involved in Gashmius, and he was thinking he was too arrogant. So he had a little coffin, a plain pine wood coffin, that he would go to sleep in, just to remind himself of where he's ultimately going. So now you know the type of person you're dealing with. Okay, so what did he do? The story goes that there was this businessman, this Jewish businessman, who came for Yom Kippur for the first time to his house, and they had this amazing davening, amazing shachris, amazing musaf, so uplifting. And then all of a sudden, the host says, "Okay, everyone, I want to invite you now, as every year, into my dining room."
Rothschild.
Is it Rothschild? That's who it was. So they go into the dining room, and the businessman sees the dining room is laden with all sorts of good food, and he passes out like right then and there. He says, "What's going on?" He just faints, and then he awakens and he hears what's going on. I guess if it's Rothschild, maybe it's Rothschild. He says, "I'm very concerned," says Rothschild, "that people are too much into the davening, and they're not feeling the inui. You know, they're too much like malachim right now. And they're not feeling the inui properly. So, I brought out the food just to, you know, waken up the senses and get the juices going so that people get hungry and have a taiva for food and they're going to suffer some more. And this way they'll have a proper inui." And he goes, "Okay, everyone back into the shul. We're going to continue the avodah." So the Torah Tamima, along these lines, has this thing to make it, to add to the inui. In this sense, yeah.
Is the Torah something you're saying that eating a lot on the 9th will cause you discomfort on the 9th, or are you saying that it'll make
discomfort on the 10th?
So then, how does it when the Gemara in Bava Basra says that changing your ways makes you uncomfortable? That's more like
you know, it's when you hit the 10th, you're not eating anymore, so your body's gonna suffer from it. So, but one of the most halachic answers. I saw from Rabbi Soloveitchik, that's all. How can you explain getting the kiyum of fasting for 2 days? So he points out, if you look in the Rambam, in the Mishneh Torah, in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Lamed, Halacha Zayin. So the Rambam talks about Oneg Shabbos. So if you would ask the average person on the street, when do you get the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos? When? On Shabbos. And when you eat cholent, right, when you eat good food, that's when you get the mitzvah. But the Rambam is mechadesh that you also get the mitzvah on Shabbos on Erev Shabbos, when you prepare the cholent, when you prepare the good food. All the preparations for the oneg is also a kiyum in the oneg itself. In other words, the din of oneg is not just the enjoyment, but it's also the preparation for it. So the Rav says that's maybe pshat also, that's what's going on over here by Erev Yom Kippurim. The din on Yom Kippurim is to fast. That's the mitzvah. That's the mitzvah hayom. But sometimes you see that even the preparation for the mitzvah is part of the mitzvah itself. Just like the oneg, so too here, that would be the same thing. So preparing for the fast so you could eat properly, that will explain why it's considered like 2 days. So you get the mitzvah of fasting both on Erev Yom HaKippurim and on Yom HaKippurim. Just like on Shabbos, you get the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos on Erev Shabbos and on Shabbos. That's the Rav's Malach. Now, I mentioned to you that there were five overall answers. So one I mentioned was the Netziv, who said it's a Hechsher mitzvah for eating on Erev Yom HaKippurim. A second approach is brought down by the Shari Tshuva of Rabbeinu Yona, also in Dalet Ches. This is maybe one of the most deep psychological insights into Yom HaKippurim. Rabbeinu Yona says as follows, and if there's like one thing you would take away from the shir this evening, at least this one din. Rabbeinu Yona says, if a person is truly upset about his chatayim, right? If it really, really bothers them, it's not something that, okay, I did it next time, you know. But if it really bothers them. I remember when I was in high school, so my freshman Rebbe in MTA was Rabbi Yitzchak Cohen, Shlita. And then I also used my Rebbe in the Maror Shekhel for many summers. So one of the themes that Rabbi Cohen always talks about is it should bother you. It should bother you. In Hebrew, you call it ichbatiyot. Okay, it should really bother. You should care. You should really care. So the Rabbeinu Yona says, he said, if it really bothers you, then when you know, when you're anticipating a kapara, a tahara and a kapara, that there's going to be a full expiation, you know, full forgiveness for the chait, and it's going to be removed, how happy are you going to be? You should be extremely happy. If you really care. If you really bothered you, the chait, then you'd be really, really happy with the approach of the day of the forgiveness, of the kapara and the tahara. And he said, that's why we feast on the day before Yom HaKippurim. To show HaKadosh Baruch Hu how much it bothered us that we did a chait. Because if we didn't feast, that means we didn't care. But if you're feasting, if you're really happy, on Erev Yom HaKippurim, on Erev Yom HaKippurim, if on this Thursday night, Friday, you're really, really happy, if we're really happy about the day of forgiveness, then that demonstrates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu how much it bothered us for the chatam that we did this year. And chas v'shalom, a person's apathetic with the approach of Yom HaKippur, what does that also indicate to God? It didn't bother us at all, the chatayim. That's scary. So the Rabbeinu Yona says that's why we eat. We have a seuda on as much as possible and rejoice on Erev Yom HaKippur. Amazing, amazing approach. The Beis Yosef has another approach in Siman Tov Reish Dalet. The Beis Yosef says that it's a din in Kavod Yontif. It's a din of Kavod Yom HaKippur. Very simple, straightforward din. He said you can't, eating is also Kavod Shabbos, it's Kavod Yontif, and Yom HaKippur, you're not allowed to eat. So when you do it Erev Yom HaKippur. The fifth answer is another answer suggested by Rabbi Soloveitchik. Also a very halachic answer. There's a din with regard to Shabbos, a regular Shabbos. Let's say you have a person who is very, very wealthy, or you know they're retired, they have servants, they don't have to do a drop of work all week long. They sit back and they read maybe the New York Times, or they're learning Shas. They're you know, maybe they're golf. I don't know. They're doing all sorts of things. Okay. Comes along Shabbos, and they also don't do Malach. Is Shabbos any? Does it look any different? I mean, if they read and they walk and they relax and they go for Tehillim, But then basically, you're not doing malacha during the week either. So Shabbos sort of lost its uniqueness. So Rabbi Soloveitchik pointed out, if you look up at the laws of Hilchos Muktzah, the Rambam says that the whole reason the Chazal, or one of the reasons that the Chazal were talking the dinim of Muktzah, says the Rambam, is in order to create a shvisa, a shvita hanikaret, a shvisa hanikaris. That the shvisa means to refrain from malacha. That the refraining from malacha on Shabbos should be unique and recognizable. So the Rambam says that even a person who's very wealthy and doesn't do any malacha on Shabbos, he can't do muktzah. So there's an added level that on during the week, of course, he'll handle muktzah items. On Shabbos, he won't. So that will be a shvisa hanikaris. So basically, the Rav develops a theme based on that Rambam that the nature of kiyum of shvisa on Shabbos is that it has to be a shvisa hanikaris. Chazal saw that shvisa on Shabbos has to be a shvisa hanikaris, a refraining that's nikur. So let's now think about Yom Kippurim. What is Yom Kippurim? Obviously, we don't do malacha; it's like Shabbos in that sense, so it's a shvisa. But what about fasting? Would you call Yom Kippurim a tanis? If you stop the average guy in the street. Is Yom Kippurim a tanis? Yes, we'd say that. The Rambam doesn't agree. If you look in the Rambam, so the Rambam has Hilchosh, in the Mishnah Torah it's Hilchosh Shabbos. What comes after Hilchosh Shabbos, guys? No. Shabbos is the laws of Yom Kippurim. How does the Rambam call Hilchos Yom Kippurim? Shvitat Asor. The refraining on the 10th. What does that mean? So the Rav points out, you read the Rambam very carefully, the Rambam actually says you're supposed to be shoveis mi'achil v'shasiyah. He doesn't say you're doing a tzom or a tanis. He says it's a shvita from achila and shtir. You're refraining from food and drink. So if you define Yom Kippurim in such terms, it's not a regular tzom, but it's a shvisa mi'achil v'shasiyah, then what's the laws of shvisa? What's the principle we developed? It has to be a shvisa hanikeres. It has to be something that's recognizable. So let's say I know people like this. They'll maybe drink a cup of coffee and have a yogurt and they're set for the day. Okay, a cup of coffee in the morning, yogurt in the afternoon, and they're good to go. There's some people that are this way. So Rabbi Soloveitchik suggested that the reason why, well, they have a light meal, just a salad or something. So he said, in order to see that Yom Kippurim is not a day that a person happened not to eat, it has to be more than that. It has to be a shvisa hanikaris. So Chazal enacted, or according to Rabbi Sharm, it's a Torah decree that we eat on Erev Yom Kippurim, so that the next day, we see it's not just an accident. It's not just, I happen not to eat. It's the way this person conducts himself. He eats a salad, a yogurt, a coffee, and so for 25 hours or so, he didn't eat, he's in between his coffees, he's in between his yogurts. No, it should be clear that this is a shvisa ani karis.
So that's okay.
Right. I guess that was something they didn't have to really enact. That sort of, yeah. Huh? I mean, there are people. I'm telling you, I know people who barely eat. They're like rabbits. So they can nibble a little bit here, and a little bit there. It's like, it's unbelievable. Okay. There's an interesting. This Gemara, just I think from this Gemara you learn that it's a kiyum in Shabbos to play ball or at least to get yourself real for shvitz, maybe jog or something on Erev Shabbos. There's a Gemara in Shabbos daf Kuf Yates Amar Aleph, which quotes Ravanan. Ravanan used to dress himself up in black clothing, and clothing that was coarse. It wasn't nice clothing. And he would dress himself this way up on Erev Shabbos. And then, before Shabbos, he would change his clothing into nice, elegant clothing, L'chavad Shabbos. In order to demonstrate the contrast from the weekday Shabbos now stands out and is nikar as unique and special. So the Mesilas Yesharim, the Ramchal writes in Chelek HaChasidus that you learn from this that you fulfill the mitzvah of Shabbos preparations, of preparing for Shabbos, not only by doing positive things, not only by cleaning up the house and making nice food and etc., but also you fulfill Shabbos preparations by doing negative things, by doing things before Shabbos that would be seem counter to the avira of Shabbos. Getting yourself a little dirty, or not being dressed so nice, or getting verschwitzt. And then, before Shabbos, making sure you're bathed and you're dressed nicely. Okay, all this has to be done, obviously, with plenty of time before Shabbos, so you can get prepared properly. But this idea of contrast is something that you see in halacha, and may indeed be the principle behind eating on Erev Yom Kippur. Okay, now, just a few more things, only a few more minutes. So, I want to discuss a little bit more about slichos. So obviously we've all, now Ashkenazim and Sfaradim are all reciting slichos. We're all together now doing this at the same time. But one of the interesting things that occurs is that Am Yisrael again diverges in their custom of slichos as we get to Yom Kippur. If you were to, again, ask the average person in the streets, if during Elul, when we say slichos, before Aseres Yemei Tshuva, so how long is slichos? A half an hour. And during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, how long is slichos? 45 minutes. On the day before Yom Kippur, if I was a betting man, how long would slichos be?
Super long.
Okay, longer than 45 minutes. Right? Certainly longer. It would be a lot. But it's recorded in the Baal HaLoch. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah brings down two deos about the Minhagim. In Eastern Europe, the Minhag Dafka was on Erev Yom Kippurim to limit the Slichos. We have many Jews from Poland, from the Polish area, reduce the Slichos. We barely say any Slichos on Erev Yom Kippurim. Who says a lot of Slichos on Erev Yom Kippurim? The German Jews, they say a lot of slichos. They have like, I don't know, almost 2 hours. There's a lot of slichos, 2 hours of slichos. Rav Schwab from the Breuer's community used to say, if you wait 3 hours between meat and milk, then you have to say 2 hours of slichos in Erev Yom Kippur. I'm not sure if he was indicating anything about that particular minhag of waiting, but he was saying that's how you know what you do. But what's the reason for this distinction? So the Shalah says the reason for the distinction is based on what we said previously. He said, if you hold the Erev Yom Kippurim as a yontif, so what are you doing saying tons and 2 hours of slichos? It's a yontif. It's a day given to the expression of simcha. You're saying 2 hours of slichos? You shouldn't be saying slichos at all. So why do we say a little bit of slichos? It's Erev Yom Kippurim. And we still, it's Erev Yom Kippurim, so you got to say something. But if you hold a day, it's just a regular day, it's just a regular average day of an Aseres Yemei Tshuva, so then it makes sense that you should say a lot of slichos on Erev Yom Kippurim. Now, yeah. The Shalom. Okay, just one more thing. With regard to the Viduyim. So you guys know what typically happens on a regular Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif. When do most Jews say Mincha on Erev Shabbos or Erev Yontif? Right before, like 10-15 minutes before Kabbalah Shabbos, you know, before Shkia, excuse me, before Shkia Shabbos, before Shkia Yontif. But on Erev Yom Kippurim, that's not what occurs. On Erev Yom Kippurim, we say Mincha very early. When do we say Mincha? Before the Suda Mafsekes. Where did that come about? How did that happen? Huh? So the Gemara, this Gemara in Yoma, the Pezayin Amadez, it says as follows. Tana Rabbanan, Mitzvahs Vidui Erev Yom HaKippurim Im Chashecha. The Mitzvah Vidui is Erev Yom HaKippurim with the onset of night. Aval Amru Chachamim Yisvade Kodim Sheyochal V'Yishteh. The Chachamim, we're metaken that you say vidui before you eat and drink. Shema titarif daito besu'udo. Maybe you'll lose your mind during the meal. So Rashi explains, what does it mean, titarif daito? Machmas shikrus. Because of getting drunk. They used to drink instead of Coca-Cola and Sprite and orange juice and apple juice. They would be drinking wine. That was the beverage. So maybe a person would get drunk and get all confused and he won't be able to do the proper vidui before Yom HaKippurim. So therefore, do the vidui before the meal. The Rambam, though, writes in Hilchos Tshuva Perek Beis Halacha Zayin that Shema Yechonek B'Su'udo So, that he might choke during the meal. Okay, so therefore, and then the person won't have the chance to do it before Yom HaKippur. So therefore, he says it before the meal. Anyway, so the Gemara says that we say vidui with the onset of darkness, but the Chacham Matakim we say also vidui before the meal. Then the Gemara continues. V'afal pishes vade kodim sha'achal v'shosa, even though you said vidui before you had the Sudam Afsekes, misvade la'achar sh'yochal v'yishta. Should say vidu again after the meal. Why? Shema iro davar kilkala b'su'udah. Maybe someone said something wrong. Maybe someone said some lashon hara. Who knows what happened? Maybe someone did some chait during the meal. So you should say vidu again. Yafal pish yisvada arvis. And even though you said vidu and mariv, yisvada shachris. And then again and again and again. We say vidu how many times? We say vidu erev yom kippurim before the sudam afsekes, after the sudam afsekes of sorts. Then Mariv, and Shachris, and then Musaf, and then Mincha, and we sort of say an abbreviated one by Ne'ila. It's a lot of Yidui. So I just want to share with you, we have only 5 minutes, less actually, because you guys got to get to the base matters. So let me just share with you one tactical, strategic approach to Yom HaKippurim. There are a lot of Yidui. And I think people sometimes get overwhelmed with the fact there are so many viduyim, they sort of try to pace themselves. And what they do is they sort of spread their energy over all the viduyim, and they end up not doing one single vidui with all their energy. And I think that's it's not the best approach. I think the better approach is to make sure that you get at least one or two viduyim down with everything you've got, with all your energy. And then the rest, you do the best you can, like you would normally do the best you can. But make sure not to just say, I'm just going to sort of pace myself and spread my energy like a marathon. No, give it all. And when would you do this? When if you had to bet when you can give all your energy? Seemed to me when you have food in your belly or a time not so long after when you had food in your belly. So it seemed to me that, obviously, Erev Yom HaKippurim, and then the night, Mariv, there's no reason a person shouldn't have the energy to say a really good, strong vidui. And again, a chachris. Those are the times that I would point to as the most likely time for a person to give it his all. And just one last thing. When we were talking about saying vidui after the Sudam Afsekes, do we say vidui after the Sudam Afsekes? So we do when we don't. The Tefillah Zaka, you know what Tefillah Zaka is, right? Tefillah Zaka is essentially a form of vidui. But Rabbi Soloveitchik used to point out, he said, if you look in the Achronim, they said that you should try to actually say the real vidui too. So in Chasnovich Russia, where he grew up, they used to do that. Some people try to do that too. Anyway, all our tefillah should be miskabel, and all of us should be zocha to have a true tshuva gemura, and it should be nechta v'nechtam, l'chaim aruchim, as tzadikim for the year to come.
Where was the